Oh, it's great to be here together again. We are continuing in our sermon series, which is all around Be Strong in the Lord. Funny that, with the songs we've been singing, and in His mighty power. So Ephesians 6, verses 10 and to the end of that chapter. And this morning, we're looking at the breastplate of righteousness. Silence the accuser. Yes. Yes. Well, I'm up for it anyway. I'm up for it. Silence the accuser. Come on. And breastplate of righteousness. You may remember, for those who were here, we had a demonstration in one of our all-age services a few weeks back. And we had young people and different teams over here, and they were throwing down bits of paper, health and safety, can't be sharp edges, no paper airplanes or anything like that. And we had this to represent, no, this is something else. That's a shield of faith. That's not breastplate of righteousness. What's the breastplate of righteousness? Did we have one?
I thought it was it the belt?
No, that's a belt of truth. That's integrity. Glasses.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, there you go. Protect your heart, yellow, green, yellow, three steps. We had that journey in the path, and this is to protect us, our heart and our journey. Thank you. Well, that went well, didn't it? What a great introduction. Brilliant introduction. Oh, don't worry, you can have confidence in me and what I'm saying. Let's pray. Thank you so much, Jesus, that we can come again singing songs to glorify your name. Maybe songs that we know, songs we don't know, but these are hymns. Hymns that give glory to you. Hymns because we choose to worship you, Jesus. You are the one to which we sing for and to. And Lord, thank you for the joy and the gift of laughter. Thank you for the grace and love and mercy here in our church. And Lord, thank you as we look to Scripture, continuing this sermon series on your armor. What does that mean for us today? How can we outwork your gifts, your fruits, and to stand strong in your word? Thank you so much, Jesus, that you're with us. When we accept you as Lord and Savior, we are truly set apart for you and for your glory. And I'm just going to read from Ephesians 6:10. Finally, brothers and sisters, draw your strength and might from God. Put on the full armor of God to protect yourselves from the devil and his evil schemes. We're not waging war against enemies of flesh and blood alone. No, this fight is against tyrants, against authorities, against supernatural powers and demon princes that slither in the darkness of this world, and against wicked spiritual armies that lurk about in heavenly places. And this is why you need to be head to toe in the full armor of God, so you can resist during these evil days and be fully prepared to hold your ground. Yes, stand truth banded around your waist, righteousness as your chest plate. Holy Spirit, we ask that words that are not of you, not from your heart, may they not take root. And we pray, Holy Spirit, that words of truth, of life that lead to Christ, and therefore our Heavenly Father, would take root and will be lasting. Thank you that we can speak truth into the darkness and rest in confidence and assurance to stand firm to silence the accuser, Satan. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Okay, so, breastplate of righteousness. Silence the accuser. I'm going the wrong way. I've got it now. So Ephesians 6:14, I've just read that verse. Turn with me, please, to Romans 3, and then verses 19 to 24. Romans 3, 19 to 24. And for those at home, it's great to have you with us. If you're able, please join in with grabbing your Bibles. There's a couple of rustling pages here in the church. It's great to hear that. If you would like a Bible, please raise your hand and we are able to give you a couple of Bibles if you haven't got one accessible. Thank you. Romans 3, 19 to 24. We want to be clear that whatever the law says, it says to everyone who is under its authority. Its purpose is to muzzle every mouth, to silence idle talk, and to bring the whole world under the standard of God's justice. Therefore, doing what the law prescribes will not make anyone right in the eyes of God. That's not its purpose. But the law is capable of exposing the true nature of sin. But now, for the good news. God's restorative justice has entered the world, independent of the law. Both the law and the prophets told us this day would come. This redeeming justice comes through the faithfulness of Jesus, or faith in Jesus, the anointed one, the liberating king who makes salvation a reality for all who believe, without the slightest partiality. You see, all have sinned, and all their futile attempts to reach God in his glory fail. Yet they are now saved and set right by his free gift of grace through the redemption available only in Jesus the Anointed. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So it's very interesting when we look at the armour. Of course, we're not going to be looking at glasses or an umbrella. That was just a fun exercise in our old age. But the breastplate of righteousness. So in the Roman soldier's armour, okay, it's a coat of mail, covered front. This covered the neck to thighs, the entire upper body, therefore protecting all the vital organs of the body. I'd always imagine it's a bit like just your breastplate here. I hadn't quite realised it was all the vital organs, the front and back. Isn't that interesting? So Paul, in the analogy here with the Roman soldiers' attire, there's so much we can draw out from this analogy. Ultimately, why do we need to have armour? We touched on last week with the belt of truth, that integrity, and the belt holding up all of the armour to help us run, to help the soldiers run, to help common people run. The belt was so vital in holding things together. And we did touch on integrity and what does that mean in today's world. I'm looking forward to talking more about that, but that's for another time. Please come and chat about what that looks like. But the breastplate of righteousness, again, all right, Andy, but why? Well, our enemy is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the darkness, ultimately against the enemy, which is Satan, the accuser. These are just some words. Liar, he's a tormentor. The accuser, he is sin. Delights in destroying our Christian witness. That is ultimately his game. He wants to rip apart God's created beings. Imagio Dei, created in the image of God, humans. He delights in destroying us. He wants us to not be focused on Jesus and therefore destroying our Christian witness. So Satan essentially delights in taking our eyes off of Jesus. That is ultimately the enemy that we fight against. Now, a slight tangent here, but equally this is so important. So, breastplate of righteousness. But really we're saying righteousness in who? Jesus. Who is Jesus? Yes, we know he's our Lord and Saviour. For those who don't know that, he is our Lord and Saviour. But there were so many cults. The Jesus of the cults. We're going to go through quite a few things. Hopefully that's a little bit easier to read. Please give feedback if it's still not big enough, and I'll make it bigger. Jehovah's Witnesses say, Jesus is actually Michael, the archangel. He was the first creation of God. He came to earth as a man, died on a stake, and rose from the grave invisibly as a spirit. Jesus then returned invisibly to Brooklyn, New York in 1914 to head up the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society. Interesting. But that's the Jesus of Jehovah's Witness. Mormons, the Church of Jesus Christ of the Latter-day Saints, say Jesus is the spirit brother of Satan. He was once a human being like you and I, but through good works, he evolved spiritually to become a god. Jesus is just one god amongst a pantheon of gods, of all of who were once human and evolved to become gods themselves. A few more things. Jesus was born to Mary through a physical incest when his father God had sexual relations with her. That the blood and cross of Christ is foolishness and cannot fully atone for our sins. That's the Mormons. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Interesting. That's the Jesus that they would say is Jesus. Christian Science and Mary Baker Eddy. Now, with all of these areas, I am not fully adverse or theologically deep-dived in the depths of the cults or quote-unquote cults. This is just a brief overview. Jesus was only a man and that Christ is a divine idea. Jesus never did any supernatural miracles. He simply showed people their mental illusions of sin, evil, illness, and disease. Jesus did not die, and his resurrection was only in a spiritual sense. That's the Jesus of the Christian Science umbrella. Okay, Song Myung-moon, the Korean Messiah, claims Jesus was a man who failed his divine mission, and he, Reverend Moon, is the second coming of Christ to unite the world under the banner of the Unification Church. The Baha'i say Jesus is only one of nine great world manifestations. He is not a unique path to salvation, and all religions are basically the same. Have you heard that before? In our kind of culture we're in, all paths lead to God. Really? Unitarians believe that Jesus was a good man who was mistakenly deified by his followers. Oh, just accidentally deified someone. Freemasonry now teaches that Jesus was only a moral teacher. He was no better than Buddha, Confucius, Moses, or Muhammad. They deny Jesus as being the light of the world, but Freemasonry is the true light of humanity. Scientology and L. Ron Hubbard claim that Jesus is a false dream. Spiritualists say that Jesus is an advanced medium in the sixth sphere of the astrological projection. Unity teaches that Jesus is a man who perfected a divine idea. Rosicrucians claim that Jesus is a manifestation of cosmic consciousness. Maharashi and Transcendental Meditation says that Jesus was an enlightened guru who never suffered or died for anyone. I mean, this is just some of them. And then you kind of go into, well, what is the occult? Oh my goodness me, this opens up a whole other avenue. Essentially, the word occult describes any practice used in an attempt to gain supernatural power or knowledge apart from the God of the Bible. Generally, it refers to superstition, fortune telling, spiritism, black and white magic, and parapsychology. Fortune telling, black and white magic. The word occult comes from the Latin occultus, which means hidden, covered up, or concealed. Often, when we're wrapped up in things that are not of Christ, it's hidden, it's in secret, it's covered up, it's concealed. Jesus brings the darkness to light. He shines truth into all the darkest places in our hearts, in our practices, and he transforms us to get those dark, sinful things out into the open. We don't want to be hidden in secret sins. An occultist relies on diverse practices to achieve supernatural power, and God bless you. Supernatural power, somebody sneezed, for those who don't know why I just said God bless you. That's achieve supernatural power or to acquire supernatural knowledge. Diverse practices. Essentially, what is the difference between a cult and the occult? A cult is a deviant religion that departs from or rejects essential doctrines of the Bible. That's a cult. The occult refers to diverse practices forbidden in the Bible. Righteousness. I had the absolute privilege of meeting someone last week who has come out of an occultic background, forced into Freemasonry at 19 and the hidden depths and darkness of that, and then involved in lots of witchcraft, seances, spells, white magic, black magic, and has got to the point where blood sacrifice was the next journey. This is real. Witchcraft is real. There is no such thing as good old white witches and bad, nasty black witches. It's rubbish. The occult is real. How has this influenced our society? It's everywhere. Through the films, through the media, through the very shops. Now, I don't want to bang on about a certain thing, but I'm going to say this as an example. Clarence's, here on the High Street. A great shop. They sell some good clothes. I'm not wearing it. They have some great clothes, got good shoes, got cards, funny cards, some questionable cards, but still kind of funny, but we've got to be careful about integrity. But also, you can buy tarot cards and palm reading cards, and they sell a lot of Harry Potter. Ooh, we're going there this morning. We're going to go here. A long time ago, there was a huge debate with Christians and others. Well, surely Harry Potter's fine. Really? May I suggest that Harry Potter is dark fighting dark? It's wizards and witchcraft fighting more extreme wizards and witchcraft. That's my take on it. But I think we have to be so very careful. Harry Potter was a massive opening to so much of the witchcraft that we see today. It was a huge change in society and acceptance and making witchcraft accessible and is fed into so much of our culture. And a massive, massive introduction to it. Well, surely it's okay, because J.K. Rowling, she's a Christian. Okay, all I see is darkness fighting darkness. It's not in the name of Jesus. It's not humble and surrendering to the biblical mandate. It's witchcraft fighting witchcraft. Again, you know that here we've got the ram in. Somebody sent me a message. Again, I highlight it. We are surrounded by darkness. Whether that be cults or occults. Occultish practices or cultish practices. So why do we need this armor? Well, Jesus. Do we really understand the Jesus that we say we profess? And do we love the Jesus that is of the Bible? So in a soldier's weaponry, the breastplate covered the vital organs. So going to war, the vital organs, you kind of want to keep them protected, right? They're vital. You need them. And in our spiritual battles, it's not in our strength, but the spiritual armor protects our very heart and soul, our faith in who we are and who we profess to follow, which is Jesus. Remember, the enemy wants to destroy humanity, and he will do it in whatever way he can. But if he's got a whole load of Christians professing Jesus, accepting the wrong Jesus, being silenced in the true gospel message, or numbing down our desire and heart and passion to want to stand strong on the truth of the gospel message, then he's got the victory. Ultimately, he's already lost. We know that. We fight from a place of victory, as we talked about a few weeks back. But people are dying. Again, we said this last week. That might hit a little bit of a hard place. In our own lives, we have family members, we have people who have either died or who are dying, and we don't know if they're a Christian or not. But I do know that the more that we can look out for our neighbour, the more that we can be the gospel message and be Christ, the true, authentic Jesus of the Bible, then we're going to see communities transformed, lives transformed, and know that we are fulfilling our very purpose to love God and to love one another, to delve into the truth of Scripture, the truth of Jesus Christ. I want to read, turn with me to Acts 4. Acts chapter 4, and we're going to read verses 8 to 12. So this is a little bit of a dialogue between the Jewish leaders and Peter. And Jewish leaders, they were saying, well, who gave you the authority to create that spectacle in the temple yesterday? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit. Rulers and elders of the people, yesterday a good deed was done. Someone who was sick was healed. If you're asking us how this happened, I want all of you and all of the people of Israel to know this man standing in front of you, obviously in good health, was healed by the authority of Jesus of Nazareth, the anointed one. This is the same Jesus whom you crucified and whom God raised from the dead. He is the stone that you builders rejected, who has become the very stone that holds together the entire foundation on which a new temple is being built. There is no one else who can rescue us, and there is no other name under heaven given to any human by whom we may be rescued. Jesus Christ is the only path, avenue, way to be forgiven, saved of our sins. That atonement sacrifice, it is only in Jesus. I do not believe that all paths somehow mysteriously, whether you are a witch, Buddha, whatever you worship, some deity, the multiple gods, the pantheon of gods, will somehow work its way out and we all worship the same God and we're all going to get to this enlightened being that is not mentioned in the Bible, it's not mentioned in any other holy text, and we'll all be fine. No! Rubbish. Don't believe it. Not at all. Couldn't be further from the truth. It's Jesus Christ. He's our Saviour. That's what people need. You and I and the lost. A question. Have you put your faith in the real Jesus? Is it impacting this faith, our very outworking of life? Are people encountering the real Jesus when they see us at work, at home, with our families, behind the scenes? What I will say is that this person who I met last week, who was wrapped up in some horrific things, 3 years ago, Jesus met her, met this person in a dream. In a dream. Wow. What a mystery. So I will say, yes, we have got a responsibility. It's our mandate. It should be the most exciting thing we're a part of, is to reach out to the lost and the broken, to be rewired from the inside out with Christ values, with the biblical Christ values. But God is God. Yes, that doesn't mean we should just sit down and do nothing. But despite us, Jesus will still meet people through dreams, through visions, through all manner of ways. But may we not be silent. May we not be the submarine Christians who pop up now and then when it's convenient or when it's quote-unquote appropriate. So righteousness. Well, it's Jesus Christ, breastplate of righteousness, that protecting our very heart and soul, and it's the faith in Jesus of the Bible. That's the faith that we need to have. So may I say, in a response for the sun worship, we've got a prayer team. take this opportunity to go, actually, maybe in past I've been involved in or have heard of or am aware of false practices, some of those cults that were mentioned, or maybe you are dabbling in different things. Maybe you think it's okay to be involved in a certain expression that's kind of a cultish or part of a cult. And these words are very strong words, but it's deliberately and intentionally being said from the pulpit. Times are short. Here in lovely Wootton under Edge, there is spiritual darkness. There's a lot of good as well. Of course there is. Absolutely. But we're not going to get to heaven by doing nice things. Just by being a good person in society is not going to atone for our sins. Jesus Christ is the only person, only God. May I encourage you as well, if any of this is stirring up something in you that you just don't like, or if you are aware of family members who have been involved or just said in some of these things, please know that the blood of Jesus Christ is more powerful and all authoritative than any darkness. And the voice of fear that comes from Satan to tell you, to say, nope, God doesn't love you, God doesn't care, you're not going to be forgiven, you're not going to be saved. Look how far you've got, look how far you've gone down that road, look how evil you've become. There's no hope for you. Do not listen to those lies. No, no more. And know that Jesus is all powerful. From a place of love, grace, and mercy. I'm going to pray. Thank you so much, Lord Jesus, that you are who we live for. Your righteousness, the gospel message, the truth and power and love and grace found and only found in you. Lord, I pray that we would, as that rally cry from last week, just wake up to what is going on around us. Help us to not be afraid or intimidated by the devil, but to know that he has already been defeated because of you, Jesus, because God, you chose to send your Son as a living sacrifice. Perfect, defeated sin, rose victorious, so that we can know you as our Father. And Holy Spirit, may you lead us and guide us to truth, the truth of Scripture, the truth of your kingdom. Help us to understand and to delve deeper into our very identity, our purpose, and the plans that you have for each and every one of us. Lord, where perhaps our eyes have been distracted and taken away from you, may you help us to say sorry, to repent, to surrender whatever needs to be surrendered again, and to come afresh before you, knowing that we are saved, loved, and forgiven. May you provide and place that conviction in our hearts of those things that are not glorifying to you. If there's any heaviness or wearisomeness, is that even a word? But if there's any heaviness or any sense of just heavy burden, Lord, may those be lifted by your name. Burden is light, yoke is easy when we are surrendered and held by you, Jesus. Where there's confusion, may you bring reality, clarity. Help us to surrender afresh. Not for the public performance, not just for going through the motions, but to see you at work in and through us. We live for you and for your glory. Amen and amen.